Well, hello, everybody, and this is our continued attempt to bring you daily Bible studies as we suffer through this coronavirus, as we attempt to fill in the gaps that we left behind in our Through the Bible series, as we're going through the Bible in 2 years here at Bryan First Brethren Church. And hopefully these daily studies are becoming meaningful for you and are something that you're looking forward to. And hopefully you're really mad at me because, because this is now Thursday, and you've missed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you're saying, "Oh my gosh, Luke, where are you?" Well, we ran into some technical difficulties, and we had some problems and some delays, and so we're hopefully gonna catch up here, and we're gonna get all this stuff, all this material out here to you today. But as we continue to move forward through the Bible studies, I think everybody's kind of understanding the process. I think you're understanding the process of how we study the Bible in these basic ways. This basic overview study of the Bible is your W's: who, where, when, what, and why. Understanding those W's, knowing how to do a basic plot chart, understanding the basics of active reading, this is what's going to make you a better Bible student. This is what's going to help you to read the Bible and understand the Bible. Now, obviously, we continue to need the power of the Holy Spirit. We continue to need, most importantly, we continue to need the will to actively live out our faith, to actively live out the Scripture. Okay, so those things are indispensable. But when it comes to the human side, the intellectual side, the academic side, just good reading skills are really what are critical. And so looking forward, now that we kind of have the process down, what I'm hoping to do is I'm hoping to go through this material and kind of give it, I'm kind of limiting myself to 15 minutes, okay? That's my goal, is I'm going to give you the material you need to understand a section or a pericope of the Bible, and you're going to be able to understand it, and you're going to get all that material in 15 minutes. That's the limit I'm giving myself. I'm giving myself 15 minutes to get you this material and get done with it, so that we don't have these kind of longer Bible studies that I know some people really like. Some people really like the longer studies. Some people want the shorter. So what I'm trying to give you are these bite-sized Bible studies that are going to help you to understand the text and to be able to live it out and not maybe take up so much time. Although I know we all have nothing but time right now during coronavirus, but as we look forward and as I hope to do more of these even after the coronavirus thing is over, hopefully this will be something that is more useful to you down the road. And if we can limit it to 15 minutes, then maybe that'll make it a much more doable thing for people in general. So we are, as I promised, we are going to go back to Genesis, and we're not going to finish Genesis today like I talked about last Friday. What we're going to do is we're going to almost finish Genesis today. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 48 today. We're not going to do Genesis chapter 49, and I'll explain why in a little bit. And then for the next study that we're going to come out, which should also be coming out today, but in the next section, we're going to cover Genesis 50, and then we're going to cover Exodus chapter 1, and then we're going to cover Exodus chapter 4 as we move on from there. So we are in today, we are in Genesis chapter 48. So if you want to, now would be a great time to pause the audio, pause it, and go ahead and read through the text, and then we're gonna dive right into the text, and hopefully we'll be done. Well, and it's not hopefully; it's gonna be. We've got about 11 minutes left, so I'm gonna have to kind of move through this text rather hurriedly, but I'm trying to limit the time that this takes for you. So go ahead and pause your audio, and we will dive right into this. Okay, so we are in Genesis chapter 48. We're going to start right away with our who. Who is in the story? Well, if you've read it and you read it carefully, and maybe if you wrote down your W chart for yourself, you know that we have Joseph, we have Jacob, we have Manasseh, we have Ephraim. We have other people mentioned. Reuben and Simeon are mentioned. But really, these are the key players in this story. And so when is this happening? Well, this is happening after the events of chapter 47. So this is after the famine is over. This is after all of this has happened. And this is towards the end. This is really the last day of Jacob's life. Okay, so this is, Jacob is dying. Okay, and where is this happening? This is happening at Jacob's home, which we presume is in Goshen. So in Goshen, in Egypt, this is what we believe is happening. This is at Jacob's home. Okay, so now we have what is happening. So we got through our first three W's. We got through those pretty quickly. So now we got 10 minutes to get through our what and our why. Okay, so what is happening? Okay, now let's go through this text step by step. So Jacob is dying. Joseph is told about it. So he takes his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, with him. And when Jacob finds out that Joseph is there, Jacob rallies. He gets himself up on his bed, and he tells Joseph, he says, the sovereign God, that term is El Shaddai. He says, El Shaddai appeared to me at Luz, and he blessed me, he said. And basically, he reiterates the Abrahamic covenant. Now, the term El Shaddai here is a significant term. And what would be really fun, I'm not going to do it today, but if you want, it would be a really cool thing to take a good Bible concordance and do yourself a study on El Shaddai, okay? Go and find all the places where El Shaddai is used, and then see if you can find connections between who's saying El Shaddai, what El Shaddai is talked about as a name for God in reference of, and try to understand that. I think it would be a really meaningful word study. And doing those things will actually help you become a better Bible student, because you'll begin to see and understand how certain words, terms, and phrases are used in meaningful ways by people, especially if it's a rare word. Okay, El Shaddai isn't really a term that we see an awful lot. So when it's used, we presume that there's some kind of significance to it. Okay, so, but again, that's something you would have to do on your own. We don't have time to do that today. So Jacob is saying to Joseph, basically, God reiterated the Abrahamic covenant to me. And then he says, now, about your kids, the kids that were born in Judah or in Egypt, they will be my kids. They will be reckoned as mine. And that just like Ephraim and Manasseh are mine, they will be mine, just like Reuben and Simeon are mine. If you have any kids after them, they'll be reckoned as yours, and they'll receive a tribal inheritance along underneath the names of their brothers. Okay, so if Jacob, you know, Joseph has his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Okay, well, if he has another son named Manasseh, okay, Manasseh will not receive a tribal inheritance. Manasseh would then receive an inheritance under Manasseh. And if he has another son named Ephraim, Ephraim would presumably, you know, get his inheritance from either, from Ephraim. Okay, well, obviously, I'm being ridiculous here, but the point is he's talking about inheritance rights. Okay, now I've talked about this in detail before. So what happens in inheritance? The firstborn receives a double portion. What a double portion is you take the total number of sons, those are the total number of heirs, and then you add one to that number. And then you take the total number of sons, and then you add one, and that's the number of shares, and then the oldest son receives two of those shares, okay? So if you have two sons, then you add one, so you have three shares, and then the oldest one gets two. So that would mean that the oldest son would get 67%. If you have three sons, you would add one, and the oldest one would get two out of four shares, so he would get 50%. And if you have four children, you would have five, so everybody would get fifths, except the oldest son would get 40%. And you can do the math for yourself and see how that works. But what he's saying is Ephraim and Manasseh will receive a tribal inheritance from me, and they will be reckoned as my children. They will be reckoned as my offspring. And so what he's saying is Joseph is getting the rights of the firstborn. Okay, so then he brings Ephraim and Manasseh there to Jacob, and Jacob sees them, and Joseph does something that's, you know, kind of deliberate. He puts the children in a specific order in front of them, okay? And Joseph, Jacob sees these kids, and he says, well, who are these? And the question, he asks it not because he's being sarcastic or because he's being silly, but because he can't see. The text tells us that Israel's eyes were failing. He was having problems seeing, and so Jacob says to Joseph, he says, well, who are these guys? And he says, well, these are your grandsons. And he says, bring them here so that I can bless them. And so he brings them over, and Joseph takes his sons, and he takes his older son, he takes Manasseh, and he puts Manasseh on his left so that he'll be on Jacob's right, because they're facing each other. And he puts Ephraim on his right, which would be on Manasseh's, or would be on Jacob's left. So he wants the older son to get the blessing of the firstborn, and he wants the younger son to not get the blessing of the firstborn, right? So this is standard operating procedure for people in that day. So he wants the older son to get the blessing of the older son. He wants him to receive the blessings of the firstborn, okay? So that makes total sense. We can understand why he would do that. And so he kisses them, and he begins to bless them, and he starts to bless them. He blesses Joseph, and He blesses the boys, but Joseph sees, verse 17, Joseph sees that what he does is that Jacob wasn't fooled. He flip-flopped his hands. So Jacob, his eyes are failing, but apparently up close he can see well enough, and what he does is he switches his hands, because Joseph put his children in front of him so that his right hand would go on his older son's head and his left hand would go on his younger son's head. Now, how old are these kids? Well, we can't say for certain. We can probably guess that at this point they're probably between, my guess would be probably between 12 and 7, somewhere in there. I can't say for certain, but that's my guess. It's probably between 12 and 7 years old, depending on when exactly he married Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. Okay, so we don't know exactly how old they are, but that's probably a fair guess, is that they're young, maybe adolescence or pre-adolescence. So they're in that range. And so these are not tiny kids, and Joseph puts them there so that the older one can receive the blessing of the firstborn, and Jacob flip-flops his hands, so his arms are crossed, and he's blessing them, and this displeased Joseph. So he tried to flip his father's hand so that he would put his right hand on Manasseh's head, and Joseph says, no, Dad, this is the firstborn, so put your right hand on his head. And his father refused, and he says, I know, my son, I know. He too will become a nation, and he too will become great. In spite of this, his younger brother will become even greater, and his descendants will become a multitude of nations. So he blessed them that day, saying, by you will Israel bless, saying, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. Thus he put Ephraim in front of Manasseh. Okay, so this is really significant. Now, the interesting thing is that Manasseh did receive... people would talk about the tribes of Manasseh, the half-tribes of Manasseh. So Manasseh does end up receiving, like, the firstborn rights of the firstborn, which is weird because Joseph wasn't the firstborn. Joseph was the penultimate son. He was the penultimate, like, the second-to-last son to be born. Benjamin was the youngest son. So Joseph isn't even close to being the oldest son, but he receives the rights of the firstborn. Now, Manasseh does not receive the rights of the firstborn from Joseph's line, but Joseph receives a tribal inheritance on both sides, on Cisjordan and on Transjordan. So he does receive two inheritances, even though he's not given the blessing of the firstborn. So it's kind of interesting. It's kind of fun. It's kind of all mixed up. But so then Joseph is supposed to get his brothers, and Joseph receives a blessing from his father, and then Jacob calls all of his other sons, and that he blesses them. And we don't have time to go into that blessing. If you really want to do a study, get a good commentary, and do a study on chapter 49, it would really be worth your time. But I've got about 3 minutes, or about 2 minutes now, and I've got to finish this up. So why is this in here? Well, what we see here is a really fascinating pattern. What we see here is the pattern that the firstborn is overlooked, and the second son, or a son that's down the line, receives the rights of the firstborn. And we see this over and over and over again in the Bible. What do we see? We see Cain is the firstborn, but Cain is cursed, and Abel is blessed, and then eventually Seth is blessed. We see with the children of Noah, it isn't necessarily the firstborn who receives the blessings. We see with the children of Abraham, it's not Ishmael who is the blessed one. It's Isaac. With Isaac's kids, it's not Esau who's blessed. It's Jacob. With Jacob's kids, it's not Reuben. It's not Simeon, Levi, or Judah, although Judah is blessed in a special way. We can't ignore that. But it's Joseph. And down the line, we see David was one of the younger sons. So over and over and over again in the Bible, the point is that it's not the first son that's blessed. It's not the firstborn who's necessarily blessed. Now, interestingly, in the Bible, later the Levitical law will condemn giving the rights of the firstborn to a child who's not the firstborn. So the Bible is like in this really weird place, because God chooses to bless people who aren't the firstborn, and yet God commands that people bless the firstborn. Why is this happening? What's going on? Well, the really cool thing is this. All of this points us to Christ. Christ is the second Adam. He's not the first Adam. Through man, through the first Adam comes death. Through the second Adam comes eternal life. Through the first Adam, the first Adam was a man of flesh and blood. The second Adam is a life-giving spirit. And the Bible is really cool. Paul talks about this and how amazing this lesson is that Christ, who is the firstborn of all creation, is not the firstborn among humanity. So the rights of the firstborn don't go to the first Adam, they go to the second Adam, even though Christ is the firstborn. And so there's this really cool struggle that's going on, this turmoil that's in the Bible if we want to bless the firstborn, but we also know that the firstborn isn't always the one who's blessed by God. Why? Because all of this is pointing us to Christ. Christ, who is not the first Adam, but he is the firstborn of all creation. Anyways, that is 15 minutes in the Bible, and I hope you'll join us again for our next lesson as we take on Genesis chapter 50 and conclude the book of Genesis. Thank you. May God bless your day.